Welcome to Our Blue Bahamas, the podcast where we explore the ocean economy, environmental leadership, and the people building a sustainable future right here in our islands. I am your host, Jasmine Colley, and today we're sitting down with someone who is shaping the next generation of environmental stewards from the classroom up. Miss Lim is an Eco Schools coordinator who is doing quiet, powerful work, planting seeds in young minds that will grow into the solutions of our ocean needs. Miss Lim, welcome to Our Blue Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Jasmine, and thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much for being here. And we're also here with one of our very own, Heather Brockbank, who is our outreach officer at Brief.
Good day. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Heather.
Okay, so Mr. Lim, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Mrs. Chengvi Salim de la Peña, and I am a physics chemistry teacher here in Bishop Michael Eldon School, as well as the Eco Schools coordinator.
Okay, so as an Eco School coordinator at BMES High School, so tell us a little bit about your role as a coordinator.
As a coordinator, my role is to act as a bridge between our student-led eco-school committee and the school administration. I help guide our young environmental stewards as they develop and execute sustainable projects such as their monthly beach cleanups and mangrove planting, ensuring that their voices lead to real, tangible changes in our school.
That's so amazing. It's something that you said there, and I really want to highlight for our listeners. You said that this is a student-led program.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
So,
Jasmine.
so how does the students go about leading these environmental activities?
Well, to start with, they meet every Wednesday. We have three sets of meetings in our school. It's a big school. We have the primary, junior, and senior. So as I've said, the students meet. We have a president. We have persons who are in charge of our areas of concerns as an eco school. They have their meetings notebook, their attendance. So they go about the business of what they have to do. And then I, of course, will be present to assist them in a way that, well, if I need to get them some resource persons or assist them in explaining a particular project, then I'll put that in. So it's basically them leading the meetings, leading the initiatives that we have in the school, and more or less I serve together with the other teachers as a background to assist in the background to assist them.
Wonderful. What I do like about what you're saying is the students are getting the hands-on experience participating in environmental leadership at such a golden age. So they are already learning how to plan events and having their own meetings. And you said that there's a president. So tell me a little bit about the journey of your eco school. What inspired you to get involved?
To begin with, our school already has a project. We call it a green project. It started in the primary school, and then when our former principal, she has already left us, God bless her soul, Mrs. Doherty, knew about the program. She mentioned it to our science department, and we take on and we started with it. And so it was already meshing up with what we have already in our school. And the journey that we realize is not just about looking at, you know, the four walls in the classroom and doing things inside the classroom. We wanted the students to see the impact of their choices, to see if they throw their garbage away or they throw their garbage anywhere, what could happen and what will happen to the campus itself, because they will see it. So our country is a unique diversity of biodiversity of a lot of islands, and we have a lot of threats that are faced with the things that have been going on as a result of global warming. And so with that said, we have been moving forward together as a school and still continuing what we have started as a school to just make sure that the students are aware of what's happening and they will also put in their own actions and continue the legacy that we have started.
So, Ms. Salim, I really want to commend you right now because right now, more than ever, like you said, with the Bahamas being vulnerable to climate change, now more than ever, we need environmental leaders, especially young persons, to step up and be a part of the environmental processes. So I think I just really, really want to thank you right now. So
You're very
just So
welcome.
you, so how long have BMES been an eco school?
We have been an eco school for 8 years now. We got our green flag at 2016. However, we started applying for the bronze and the silver in 2014. So right now, yes, 8 years going 9 years now.
Wow, that's amazing. So looking back, would you say that being an eco school has been beneficial for the students and the school overall?
Yes, it was quite a journey that we had, and it's still a journey. It still has its ups and downs, but at the end of the day, we are actually seeing the benefits of what we have done, and we are actually seeing also them going out there in the real world. One very great example is Heather. Heather is a very act was a very active member of our Eco Schools program when she was here. And now look at her. She's already leading the way for future young professionals to continue environmental stewardship.
Wonderful. And I like how there's like a generational pass down. And also when I find that when students get involved, that's a whole household being involved within the program. So do you notice that?
Yes, I do. If I remember it right, we had one student who started here in the primary school, went up to high school, and they graduated. And then the siblings from the primary school going up to high school, in fact, is one of the heads of our litter department here in our school. So it's really like a household, like you said. We have parents coming in, we have relatives coming in, we have a lot of people who just pass on from one generation to another. And it's really like heartwarming to see that they have really seen the effects of it, and they are willing to continue what their siblings have started.
And I
Nice.
wanted to just jump in here, Miss Salim. I can speak from my personal experience in the eco school. For our listeners out there, I am an alumni of Bishop Michael Eldon School and was a member of the eco school during my time there. And one thing I can note, moving from high school or primary school to high school as the eco club was flourishing into their green flag, what I really admired is that it was a whole school initiative, not quite just the Eco Club was involved, but it was blended over into the entire student body. And I think that's really, really important in identifying ourselves, not just as like the Eco Club, but as a group. So, Ms. Salim, have you seen that it's been really more beneficial to engage the whole school body when trying to get initiatives going?
It is very much from the ancillary staff to admin, especially the principal. If you have the admin on board and everybody else on board, you will really see that everyone's working and every job's important. And so the role that they play, that each one play, contributes to the success of what we're having like now. Let me give you an example. So, it's Easter break and there is no school today, but we go to school to check on our bins for our hydroponic garden, making sure that they are filled in. And when we go there, we don't have to worry about the security asking about what's happening because they know that we're going there. And then one time you have security saying, "Oh, I put the water in the bin. I've already filled it in." Or we have like an ancillary staff saying, "Oh, I can carry the soil to the high school." As you know, we have a little bit of a distance from the primary school to the high school. So with this initiative, the program being like encompassing everyone in the school, you could really feel that difference. You would feel that everybody, when you say eco schools, then they know that it's not just about one person, or it's not just about the club, it's everybody else contributing. Like, if you're asking for seeds, then they will say, when are you going to get some seeds? We have some seeds here. In fact, I think there is one like from the Rotary. We have a club here who's linked with the Rotary Association, letting us know that they are going to ask for advice on how they can donate some more plants for the school. And they come to us and ask us what are the best plants to work with. They also came to us to say, we have some soil that you probably want to have, or some seeds that you probably want to have. And there's a lot of organization that we already have like tapped into and reach into, not just inside the school, but also in the community. Like in the beach cleanups, we have organizations like the Ministry of Tourism asking if they want, gloves, if they want us to for gloves or anything else that they need. Right now, we have actually three eco schools or two eco schools who are always coming to our monthly beach cleanup. So it trickles, like it started as the eco school committee, and then the entire school is on it. And so we are going more from our school to the community. So it is really a big help to involve everyone, because it's not really just one person, but it's everybody's business to ensure that we take care of the environment.
I love how the spillover effect into the community, from the student-led initiative, and we're having other organizations get involved. I heard you mention even Key Club.
Interact. If I interact is also helping us with our beautification. So once they know, sorry, Jasmine, once they know there is a project going on, or they come to us if there's a project that we are having and they want to be part of it and they want to assist. So you have like a workforce that is not just students from the committee, but students from other clubs working together.
That's amazing. Could you share some of the key projects or initiatives that are going on or that has had the most impact?
For me, I could say one of the things, one of the projects is our monthly beach cleanup. I say that because we have it at the every Saturday and last Saturday of the month, and we have people coming, like schools, like Basra organizations, Cape Brown Bahama Clean, coming and asking us to let them join. And then, in fact, because we have a collection of data, we are planning and we are given a suggestion to share it during a town meeting, a town hall meeting. That's one. And the other one is our connection or collaboration with our mangrove restoration. As you all know, we have been severely hit by Dorian, and so a lot of environmental organizations have been making sure that we are restoring our mangrove areas. So we have that connection, and that to me is also a very good project. And the other one is just the beautification of the school, like our garden for Mrs. Doherty. She has been really a tremendous pillar in the start in the establishment of our eco school committee. And then finally, our gardens. We have a lot of gardens in the school, and it helped, though, especially the little ones. They sell the produce and they don't go home. They don't go home until all of it is fully sold. So these are the four things that has really big made an impact of big projects, like our hydroponic garden that make a significant. Oh, I forgot. We also have a project runway show, Eco School Fashion Show. And for me, that was also it's a recurring project. And we even have like an environmental expo during our last fashion show, where we invited organizations, environmental organizations, both local and private and public organizations, to come and have a booth. So right before the fashion show, everybody can look around to see what everybody's doing in terms of environmental stewardship in the island.
That's so amazing. And I know students get in the eco schools. First, they have a hands-on experience with the internal policies within the school. So, like within the auditing process, could you tell us a little bit about how they affect the school culture, the eco school club? The eco club affect the school culture?
Well, when we say the eco school members, like they it's like because they know that the members are active, that the members are there, whenever they see something in the school that they want to be addressed, for example, there's always a point when the garbage, the litter in the school will go up and down. So whenever they see that happening, they go to any of the eco school committee member, or even to me, or in any teachers in the science department, to mention what's going on. So if there is, say, for example, an international cleanup, and we have our international coastal cleanup, they know who to go to. They go to the committee to say, do we have representatives to assist us in just about anything environmental related? There is always a go-to person now in the school.
That's so wonderful, and I like how they're involved with the policies at the school. And then, like you would have mentioned, from your beach cleanups, because you guys collect data, you're able to go to town hall meetings and about to
About to.
actually be a part of what's going on in your community. And I think that's so important because, like I said, you're planting the seeds for the next generation. So, were there any surprising outcomes or moments that stood out to you during this journey?
There's a couple of things. One for sure is that we have a very active parent involvement. As you know, parents always have a lot of things to do, and they also have their own work hours to attend to. And so now that we have, it is very surprising that we have a lot of parents who are actually come to our meetings for the primary school and assist, and not just assist in a way that, they assist in a way that they give you, they give talks. Like we have a couple of parents who are also very an expert in their own field, and so they give us a tour. They shared with the students what they have learned and their knowledge to the students. So that for me is surprising. Getting parents to really sit in during the meeting, and when there are activities, you can always count on them to assist. That's surprising for me. And overwhelming too.
And luckily, I'm in a position where I get to interact with other eco schools. And I remember this student. I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry. But she was saying, I'm an eco school. She said, Mom, you're an eco school parent. So, and I think having, especially students who have a leadership role in the class, they're now, I would say, putting pressure on their parents to also uphold that mandate, I guess, in different areas. And I think that's so amazing. Like just the passion and the student leadership behind it. So, tell us a little bit of some of the challenges or setbacks that you faced during implementing some of the Eco School initiatives.
Challenges. The main challenge, and in fact, one of the students mentioned it when we had that virtual event with the other Eco School committee members around the island, is consistency. And it's I say that because we have a lot of deadlines to meet. We have a lot of activities, and our eco school members are not just eco school members. They are also members of other organizations, members of sports organizations. So we have that challenge of making sure that the intensity when we started the project and during the course of the project and towards the end of the project will remain the same. That is a challenge because, as I've said, it's an up and down. We could have meetings where we only have a couple of students who come and talk about what's going to happen for the week, or we could have meetings when we have a lot of students coming and merely because they have other things to do. So for me, that's that consistency over intensity is a challenge. And by breaking big goals into smaller and manageable on a weekly task. So because we have like a main task for the week, and then we can take on an extra task. And so when we break it down, we have like I have asked the heads to make a roster for who's going to do the energy check, make a roster for who's going to do the litter count, so I could assist them in monitoring who's in charge for whom, and if they are not able to come, then I could fill in. I could ask for another teacher to fill in, and then just making sure that we got everything done. So,
Okay,
yes, sorry.
so if there's a school or student or teacher listening in right now, so what lesson you would tell them during their eco school journey if they are just thinking about becoming registered?
But I would say that teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay, wonderful. So, like you said, it's just organizing and having those responsibilities well in advance and having rosters and like you say, teamwork, because not every day I can imagine if a student is in a sports club and also part of the ecos, having other students step in there, I guess, when they have different responsibilities. So I think that's so amazing. And now I just want to switch it on to your own personal perspective. I know that you're also an eco school coordinator, but you're also a parent of an eco school student. So how has this experience shaped your perspective on environmental education?
As a parent, well, my child has always been into the environment. She always likes nature. And so it wasn't difficult for me because even when I was, before I was pregnant with her, I was already doing eco school stuff, eco school activities. So when I had her and she wanted to be on board, my husband is also in on board for the eco school committee. He's always been there to assist me all from when we started as well. So it has made me realize that the habits that you start early with the children will definitely be a good impact for them. Like if you are mindful of turning off the lights, my child would say, "Oh, you forgot to turn off the lights." Or if you make sure that the water should not be running while you're doing this, and she actually will let me know. So it's telling us then that if we teach the children as early as when they are in school or even before they go to school, they would actually be teaching us, and they would
Yes.
also be reminding us, and together we can help shape a lifelong mindset for the students, for the children.
And you know what I love about kids and working alongside kids? They are the strongest advocates ever. They
Yes.
will, they don't mind who you are, they don't
Yes.
mind where you're at, but once they see something that is wrong, they're going to speak up. And I think, fostering such strong values at such a young age is just so really important.
Yes, it is very much so, especially doing that, like you said, early on,
Yes,
the
yes.
environmental habits. If you start it early on, they're gonna start so strong and they're not gonna waver.
So, I mean, some persons may not be ready to register their school as a re as an eco school. But like, what are some practical things students can do right now to make their school more sustainable, even if they're just they're starting out?
Well, to begin with, it's always been a problem. Litter has always been a problem. So if, you know, us as a student or as a school, if they could enforce making sure that they pick up their garbage. I remember one time when I mentioned it, like you're only concern of the area in front of you. So if you pick up the garbage in the area right in front of you or right in front of your classroom, then that's one. The other thing too is as a student, you know, having the habit of turning off the switches in the classroom, even if you're not in charge to turn it off, for as long as you know that nobody's there or you're leaving the classroom and nobody's going to use the classroom after you, just having that habit of turning it off and on and erasing the writings on the board if no one's there, just fixing the chair. That to me is a simple step or practical things that students can do right now, even if they're not in an eco school program. And finally, just making sure that they take care of what they have. Like we know that we have to conserve resources. So if they take care of what they have, or even if this if not if it's not their own, but just having that mindset of preserving and conserving whatever you have is already a good practical way to start right now as a student.
And what I also tell the students that we work with is no matter where you're at in the Bahamas, you're no farther than 3 miles away from a coastal environment. And, a lot of ways in the way we use our trash in our everyday lives really has a huge impact on the ocean, on the ocean health. And I think that's also something what persons never really understand, that, hey, I can have. If my water bottle doesn't go properly within the garbage, it's a huge chance that that would end up in the ocean.
Exactly.
Right. So, and I just think, when persons get involved into hands-on activities, they just really, it switches their perspective on the way they consume, on the way how, on certain behaviors. Like you said, that you can start out simple by just the space in front of you. I think that's such an amazing way to start.
That's right.
So, is there any mistakes or pitfalls that a new eco school should watch out for?
I think I have to be honest here. I think if they think of it as for show, you know, if you do things just for show, I think that's a pitfall because you are creating a different mindset. It's not the mindset that we want to have. And the other thing is also if it's a one person show, the program should not only depend on one teacher. Although I'm there, I will always try my best to engage other teachers, to collaborate with other teachers and to talk to them and let them experience what I have experienced in school. And I don't really like to feel that I'm the only person that's the go-to person for us teachers. So that's one thing. And I think it's really gonna help. Like I said, teamwork makes the dream work. If you have like a team of diverse students and supportive administration staff and parents and people in the community, then the program is gonna be sustainable long term. I'm not saying Jasmine that it's gonna be beautiful forever or it's gonna be so easy forever, but I'm saying that if you don't reconnect and collaborate, it's gonna be difficult. And the other thing too is if you don't engage with other eco schools as well. Like for me, I like going to the workshop because it helps me refuel as an eco school coordinator, and I like engaging with other eco school coordinators as well because it will help keep the fire burning, especially if you have a lot of things to do in school.
Thank you so much. And I think what you said is so important that you want to collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. I think it's so much bigger than just the school, but But having more parents involved, having more students involved, having more teachers involved. And like you say, that would help build with the consistency issue that you would have previously mentioned.
Yes, and clubs too. Not to mention clubs, because we tie up with clubs. Clubs come to us, or we go to other clubs in the school and ask them, let them know this is what we plan to do. If they're interested in joining or doing something, that could also help.
So, Miss Lim, thank you so much for being here and the work you show up and do every single day. To everyone listening, if today's conversation moved you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. We're building something here and it's worth talking about. So, until next time, stay curious, stay connected, and stay blue. This has been a Blue Bahamas. Thank you so much for listening.